Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Well, if you haven't guessed, we are into the Christmas season now. We are in the midst of it all. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are in this time of year where we get to recognize who you are, what you've done for us, and what you're about to do. What you did all those years ago, and what you continue to do every single day. We thank you for it, Lord, and we praise you for it. And Lord, as I begin to preach, let every word that is of you never be forgotten. And whatever word is idle or anything that is not worthy, let it be forgotten. And let you have all the glory and all the praise because you are worthy. You bring joy to your people. You bring peace to their hearts. And you calm the storms. And I thank you for it, God. And I just thank you right now that you're releasing your supernatural joy, your supernatural peace over us right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't know about you guys, but I can feel it rushing over me right now in the name of Jesus. And I just want you to experience that today. If you have never experienced the joy of the Lord, just shout out for it. Jesus, I need your joy. I need your joy. I need it. And because if you are a child of God, that is your right to have. You can have joy no matter what circumstance you are in. You can have a peace that surpasses all understanding because of what he did all those thousands of years ago in this season that we're celebrating right now. He gave us the greatest gift, his son, that we could look upon him, receive that gift, unwrap it, as the titles of these messages are going to be about this month. Unwrap the gift. It is free to you, and he's handing it out. He is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter where you came from, who your parents were, where they came from, what they looked like, what they did. None of that matters. It's a free gift to us all. Thank you, Lord. And let the joy and the peace of God surround you right now. Woo. Yes, Lord. Super excited about today. I hope you guys have your Bibles with you. This is church, boys. That's where you're supposed to have it. And if you do not have one, and if you do not know what I am talking about, please say, Pastor Caleb, at the end of the service, what is this Bible that you're talking about? I've never seen one. I've never held one. We will make sure you understand what that is and get you one because it is so important. It says that your faith grows by hearing, by his word. Whew, right there. If you don't have his word, you need it. Let us know. The title of today's message is, it's Christmas time. Christmas time. Woo. A few weeks ago, we were in the leadership meeting. And before the leadership meeting, I was praying and asking God, like, what should we talk about? Because we get asked, you know, like, what do we want to talk about? What are the events coming up and things like that? And it's like, you know, it's obvious that Christmas is soon, it's now, but it seems since I've been in leadership, and this happens in a lot of churches, that there is so much that goes on during the year, especially in this church towards the fall. We have so much things that goes on that it's almost like when Christmas comes, it's like, oh, it's Christmas. It's December 1st. We've got to get the play ready. We didn't even talk about that. We got to get the kids ready for this, and we've got to make sure we got the outreaches and this, that, and the other thing. Because everything is so busy. But this year, God's like, remind them of Christmas. And it's not that the leadership didn't know, but it's like, wait a minute. We have all these things coming up, but Christmas is coming. Christmas is here. And I just felt that being anchored in what Christmas is going to be so important for us this year. And why is that so? Not that it is always not important, because it is. But with everything that's happening around us and the people that you encounter, they need you to be grounded and anchored in what this time of year means. What does it mean? Because there's a lot of stuff going around this world that's happening, and it's like, does it seem like we have the gift of peace? Does it seem like the world has the gift of joy? Does it seem like there's these things that God talks about that is happening in the world? And it's like, wait a minute, all you got to do is turn on the news and see this and see that. Yes, that's true. But what God has given us in this time of year, if you are anchored and know what that means, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. And not only what's going on in the world, but what's going on in you. You may care about what's happening in the Ukraine or the Middle East or in Washington, D.C., but if something's personally affecting you, you won't even care about that stuff. The storm inside. That's why it's important. Ooh. It's so important to celebrate this time. But did you know that certain places in the world at certain times where you think Christmas was celebrated, they were not allowed to celebrate Christmas? And you want to know one of the places that it wasn't allowed to be celebrated for a long time? England. England. You're like, what? They've got the Church of England, you know, like all these things. If you see pictures of it, and I'll have pictures on there, hopefully, of what it looks like in England during Christmas time, there was a time of about 15 years where they couldn't celebrate Christmas. It was illegal. If you went to Christmas, or you went to church on Christmas Day, you could go to jail. It was illegal to do so. And you're like, what? Why? And the people that did it were supposedly the most religious people of that time. See, what happened was, in the 1640s, there was a revolution, a civil war in England. And it was between the people who wanted the parliament to be supreme or the monarchy to be supreme. The Cavaliers on one side and the Royalists on the other. The Royalists were headed by the king. And then the other one was controlled of by a guy named Oliver Cromwell. Oliver Cromwell, he was a Puritan, and he was in the army, and he believed strongly that the parliament should have supreme control in England, and he was against the crown. So there was a civil war, the monarchy side lost, he ends up getting his head chopped off, the king does. King Charles I is his name. He gets his head chopped off. His son, who was about 9 or 10 at the time, he gets sent to exile in France, living with his family members, because that's how they roll. And and so the parliamentarians won. And Oliver Cromwell, after a certain amount of years, became the head of this, and it was the Protectorate. He was, I think it was called the Protectorate of England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. And when he became there, because he was a Puritan, and what they believed is they wanted to purify the Church of England. They wanted to purify the church because they believed that the Catholic Church had too much influence even in the English church. So they wanted to purify those things, so they stopped doing things that they thought were, you know, not religious. And so they pressured him to say, you guys can't do Christmas anymore. And that happened here in America too, because when the Puritans, the Pilgrims, came over here, they didn't celebrate Christmas. They didn't do that. When you look at it, and I'll get into this a little bit more, there are reasons why they didn't, but they believed that they couldn't. And he made it illegal in England for a long time to celebrate this time of year to remember the Savior's birth. And they were the most religious of the times. So there are times when we can't celebrate them and we really want to. And that's happening all over the world today as well. What should Christmas look like? What does it look like to you? What does Christmas look like? And it's different all over the world. Hey, Alex, are you back there? You got them photos? Here, I took some photos because Christmas time is like, it's a personal thing, but it's like a corporate thing. We do different things in different parts of the world. And this is just a compilation of the way people are do Christmas all over the world. So I just want to take a few minutes and look at these, and I'll explain some things as you go through them, Alex. This is Christmas time in the tropics. Last week I was feeling this. I had my Hawaiian shirt on. I was like, what is Christmas going to be like in Hawaii? That'd be so awesome. The next one. There it is. Now this one's a little bit different. What don't you see here? Well, you don't see people. You don't see any trees, really. You don't see any Christmas there, do you? It reminds us that there are people around the world who cannot celebrate. And we'll get into more about how important it is. But just think, there are people who are going to be waking up on the 25th of December, and their town looks like that. Beautiful as it is. But where's Christmas? The next picture, please. Ah, this is the one that we normally see in the Christmas cards. This is the one I like. Yes, the star shining down on the manger looks awesome. You're like, ooh, these things are all over the place. Those are pretty powerful things. Next one. Ah, right here. This is Bethlehem now. Isn't that so beautiful? Isn't that one of the most, it's like, it's a cityscape, but it's like awesome. Isn't that so cool? A side note, this week, the Palestinian Authority said there will be no celebrations this year of Christmas. So there will be no celebrating Christmas in the place where Jesus was born. They said no mas. So it's not happening there. No mas. Next. Here's another tropical one. I like them. I'm in a tropical mood. And the next one, Alex. Ah, this is England because I'm obsessed. But this is a picture of England and how they celebrate there. They say Happy Christmas. They call him Father Christmas and things like that. Next slide. This is in Germany. I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is Nuremberg, because how they celebrate is they have these big Christmas markets, and it's popular for your family to go down to these Christmas markets and experience like the food, the culture, the lights. They have a whole bunch of things that go on. It's one of the most pretty, beautiful things you can see during this time, and that's how they celebrate it in like Germany and in Switzerland and Austria. But there are some like in England too, but primarily in that German heritage area. The next slide, please. And this is another view of that. I think this is a bigger view of what it looks like in that town, so it's pretty awesome. Doesn't it look so cool? Don't you just like, oh, I wish I could be there. Yeah. Next slide. Ooh, this is a simple Christmas one. I like this one. This is just a country Christmas that you think about. Ooh, the next one, please. Ah, look at that. It's not necessarily a Christmas one, but it looks pretty, doesn't it? next one, please. That one was in the Alps somewhere. This one was in the Alps somewhere. It's a famous thing. And this one is in Spain. This is in Madrid. This is in the center of Madrid. This is cool. They do a Christmas market like they do in Germany, but this one is a little bit different. This is in Madrid. Isn't that look so awesome? I want to go there and talk with a lisp just like they do. Next one, please. And this is just the way we see it here. I mean, not that it's not cool. Isn't that cool? I mean, like, I'm into it, but I'm just not into it like that. I couldn't be like hanging stuff up there. I mean, some people are like really feeling the feels, but I don't really feel the feels like when it comes to doing that type of thing. It's nice, I get it, but there's a lot of work right there. That's a lot of work. What does Christmas look like to you? What does Christmas look like to you? We're going to be going through some scriptures now. And what I want to do is have you follow along with me. But because I'm a pastor and a shepherd, and one of my jobs is to help you grow in your faith and help you walk out what God has in your life, I'm going to start reading. And then you guys tell me where I'm at. Shout it out once you know. This first one's going to be simple. This first one's going to be simple. The next couple ones is going to be a little bit more difficult. When you know it, shout it out. Pace to be a winner. We're all winners. Just a funny thing. You're all winners. It's all good. In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Keep going. Luke 2, verse, almost, a little bit further. We're getting there. Verse 8. That's where I started. I'm going to go through a couple of verses. But it says, in that same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shined around them. And they were trembling and frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David, there has been born to you a Savior who is the Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he was lying in a manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. And all those who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all they had seen, just as has been told to them. As you have seen, people practice Christmas differently all over the world, at different times, in different things. And some believe that we're not supposed to do Christmas, and some believe that we're supposed to do Christmas a certain way, and this, that, and the other thing. But what happens is, when you get caught up in this is how we do what we do here, the danger is we miss what happened, what I just talked about, because you miss the birth of Jesus, because you get so wrapped up in the Christmas tree's got to look like this, or we don't have a Christmas tree because this meant that, and these are why they did this, or we need to helm the lights up, or we need to have palm trees, or we got to be like in Australia where they go surfing and they have barbecue in the afternoon, which is so awesome. But the problem is, And you notice it if you watch movies today and things about Christmas, because they'll always ask, well, Christmas means this, and they're talking about all, you know, it's like friends and parties or presents or these, that, and the other thing. And it's like, wait a minute. No. Christmas is about the gift of God, his son, Jesus.
Amen.
That's the... For a while, a couple years ago, I was really into Hebrew roots, and I really got into it, and it's awesome, because you have to know Hebrew roots and a lot of things, because you have to know the context of why the Bible says the things that it does. And so I was really into it, and I was like really getting into it, and you know, it's like Christmas time, do we do Christmas time, do I want this tree, I know where the tree came from and all these things and things like that. But I was talking to Pastor Tom, and he's like, yeah, but if you take that away, because I was thinking about not doing Christmas, and I don't know if you remember talking to me about it, Pastor Tom, but it was like, but there should be a time where we set aside, we'll remember that day. We'll remember what happened with those shepherds that night. There has to be a time when you do that. What does it look like to you? This is what it is. God sending his son to a world that were helpless. Before time even began, he knew that Adam and Eve would fall in the garden and we would lose our way. And there needed to be a way to so us to be made back to him, to be reunited. And he knew he would have to send his son. And that is the gift that we remember on Christmas. That we who were helpless, that had no business whatsoever being in the presence of God, can be made right in the presence of God because of the gift he gave us that night. So it's important to remember that as a whole, that Jesus was born that night. And because when he lived his life sinlessly, he went to the cross and died for our sins completely and was raised again, we can be set free. The gift of peace is not only because the gift of peace that he has in us, the peace that was given even more than that was the peace between us and God. And that peace was brought back. That peace was brought back. Amen. What does Christmas look like to you? This is how I would like to remember Christmas corporately, remembering what happened that night. But what if I said to you, when is your Christmas? When is your Christmas? You're like, well, what do you mean? Isn't Christmas on the 25th? Didn't we just say that we wanted to celebrate this corporately and remember the day? Yes, I do so. But when is your Christmas? Well, it's every day. But there is a time, and I want to go to this next story. This is actually was part of my, because I was going to preach in the last series about peace, and this was like the story. And Hannah was like, oh, you've got this story, but how can you put it with Christmas time? And I'm thinking to myself, The Prince of Peace, yes. But as I was reading this over and over again, and I was praying and asking God, how does this correlate? When is your Christmas? Remember, I'm going to start reading, and you guys are going to follow. You're going to find it. It happened that as we were going into a place of prayer, a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who were bringing her masters much profit and fortune-telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept on crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." She continued doing this for many days. Oh, there it is, Acts 16:6. Yes, yes. You're like, wait a minute. What does this have to do with Christmas? This was literally like 50 years later after the birth of Christmas, or after the birth of Christ. I'm telling you, it has something to do with it. Because this is somebody's Christmas story. This is somebody's Christmas story, and here's how it is. So Paul ends up casting this demon out of this woman. The people get really upset that he did so. They get thrown into jail. And before they get thrown into jail, Paul and Silas get thrown into jail. They beat him with sticks and really mess him up. Then they put him into the inner prison. And the jailer, the head jailer, is commanded, make sure that these men do not leave. So he's like, I'm going to put them in the inner thing. They're going to make sure they don't leave. And this is what happens that night. So imagine you're sitting in the middle of the prison, in the middle of it all. You've just been beaten. You've just been wrongly imprisoned. And these people are, this is not like three hots and a cot. This is like in the middle of the worst dank, dark dungeon you can believe. And you're hurt. It says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the prison doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called out for the lights and rushed in trembling with fear and fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them to that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. Immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. This was his Christmas. Miraculously, he saw Jesus through Paul and Silas. For the first time, he didn't even know it, that this was going to happen. Just like those shepherds when they were out in the field, didn't know anything was going to happen, and all of a sudden the angel appeared before them. Miraculously, they went to see the baby for the first time. Their eyes were opened. His miracle happened when they didn't leave the prison. Because that was so different than what the world would have done. If you were set in prison wrongly and the chains fell off you and the doors opened up, you would have skedaddled. You would have ran out of that thing as fast as you could. But Paul and Silas were of a different spirit because they were born again and they didn't leave. And that jailer saw them and it broke him. And it broke him. Because right then, he knew in an instant that he had been living wrongly his entire life. Then he saw a miracle. And then he changed and wanted to know what he must have to do that. That was his repentance spot right there. That was his metanoia. That is what we call, when we call metanoia, his repentance, where you turn around. You were going one way. You thought everything was going good. Then God shows up and you find out, I was wrong. This is the right way. What was your Christmas? What was your metanoia experience where you experienced God for the first time and you realized you were doing all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons? Then he showed up in your life unexpectedly and changed you around. Your Christmas moment where you could finally see him miraculously. Mine came in May 2002. I had been living wrong. I had been doing, you have no idea. You have no idea. It got so bad that I literally licked beer out of a carpet. That's how bad I was. I didn't love myself. I didn't care about anything. But God reached me. It was a May day. I'd been talking with somebody about God. I didn't know anything about it, really. And one night, I was reading a Bible that she had given me. And I just looked up and I said, God, if you're real, if you are really real, you will show me. And the next day, and it was simple, I looked up in the sky and there wasn't anything like special about it, but I knew that Jesus was real. It was my metanoia experience. I had been living wrongly, and now he had called me home. When is your Christmas? Do you know it? Do you know him? We need to have a corporate Christmas where we celebrate what God did on that day. But we also need a personal Christmas where he shows you himself, where you turn from your old ways and you turn to him. Your own Christmas. And another thing that the shepherds did, three things I want to talk about today. Knowing God corporately, celebrating what he did, knowing him personally, but also telling others about him. Because the shepherds, once they saw Mary and Joseph and talked about who Jesus was, they immediately went out and told everybody around. What I just encountered, I want you to know about. What I did on that May Day, I want you to know about. Because there is a God, he is real. He is real. And he will show himself to you. We have to do that. We have to go out and tell people about what we've encountered, who we've encountered, our Christmas story. There are great things that it looks like corporately and culturally. But what is your Christmas story? And have you told somebody about it?
Yeah, good.
One more short little history thing. This time of year, I like to tell the story about the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. You guys realize that that originally was not a Christmas song. Had nothing to do with Christmas. Nothing whatsoever. There's a, like when the song was officially started, they don't know. But what it was the slaves would sing these songs in the fields to each other. Because in the South, before the Civil War ended, slaves weren't allowed to read. They weren't allowed to be told things, and especially about church, about Jesus, because the slave owners knew once you were set free in here, no matter how chained up you were out here, you were free already, and you can't contain a freedom like that. So they would sing these songs in the field, so they'd be working all day because they couldn't, you know, go to church on Sunday, but word would come in. They'd be pulling cotton all day, no hope. Then all of a sudden, you'd hear somebody in the background going, go tell it on the mountain. Go tell what on the mountain? Go tell it on the mountain. What? That Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. There are many people who may not be in slave chains as we know it back then, but there are many people who are enslaved in different ways. Pornography, alcohol, all kinds of things, chained. Go tell it on the mountain because you know the truth that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The greatest news, the greatest gift that you can ever unwrap was given to us by God freely on that night. Then he opens up our eyes to see him for the first time. Now it's our job to go and tell the world so that they can encounter him for the first time. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Great hope. Ah, it's Christmas time. Celebrate, but remember the reason why we celebrate. Have fun, decorate your house super crazy like that. Go to Hawaii and surf in the sand or the ocean. and sand on the sand. It would be so cool. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born, and he can set you free from the deepest, darkest hole you could ever be in. Go tell it on the mountain. Have that gift and give the gift that Paul and Silas gave that night to that jailer and his whole household. You never know who's watching. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.